4. Proverbs chapter 4, begin reading at verse 23. Proverbs 4:23 reads, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee your froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word once again. We thank you for the Proverbs that you gave to Solomon, Lord. It was written to his son, Lord, but it was written to us as well, Lord. We just thank you for the truths it contains. Pray you would help us, Lord, that we would fulfill this verse, Lord, that we would keep our hearts with all diligence, Lord, and that we would honor you in all we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in verse 23 how it specifically says to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. That we understand how with everything in life that so much depends upon our hearts, with the challenges we face, with the different things that we seek to do, things we seek to accomplish, so often the battle is won or lost before we even step out on the field, that it is the attitude of our heart. That it's sometimes if we set our mind to something, we have a determination, even a little bit of stubbornness, that we see we get something accomplished. And but sometimes if we think, well, I can't do it, or we're unsure of ourselves, then we can find that it doesn't end up that the way that we desire. And so the Lord teaches us and he tells us that we need to be concerned about our heart. And of course sometimes we realize that we can be concerned with so many other things in life, and even in our own lives we can be concerned with what we may appear to be on the outside, but the Lord wants us to focus on the inside, because man looks upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And he sees us as we are, and he wants us to keep our hearts diligently. We see in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons." That is something that not only are we to keep our own hearts, but that we're to teach others, we're to teach the generation to come, so that they too would not forget the things that God has done. And so we want to learn that in the significance of the heart. We realize that salvation begins in the heart, that it is with the heart that man believes unto salvation, that is where it begins, that's where the Holy Spirit works. And we understand as Christians that's how the Holy Spirit works with us, that He indwells us. He knows what our heart is like, and He wants to mold it into the image of Christ. And so we see that through life that we need to work in our hearts so that we would be prepared to serve the Lord, we are prepared to do right. And we see a contrast in the Scriptures. It speaks of Rehoboam, and we know the history of Rehoboam, of how the kingdom was divided under him, and there's a summation of his life in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. It says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." That it was something that was not his priority, and he ended up becoming a very evil king, far beyond what he may have expected, but it was because he prepared not his heart. But we see a contrast of that with Ezra. It speaks in Ezra 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." That his heart was prepared, that he had a purpose in his life, that he was going to seek the law of the Lord, he was going to study the Scriptures and meditate therein, and he was going to do what they said once he understood what they meant. And then as he understood it, then he was going to teach that to others, that that was his plan. We think also of Daniel, of how it says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And so we see the importance of that, of the preparation of the heart. We see also that the things that we say, and oftentimes whenever we're with someone, or especially if we're in a public place or we're trying to witness someone, we're concerned with what we say, what comes out of our lips. We don't want to put our foot in our mouth. We don't want to say something, have it come out wrong, end up offending some person unnecessarily, and that we want to say the right things. And we realize that if our hearts are right, then that will so often govern what our lips say. We see this in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and last part of verse 34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." And verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And so it's something that we want to make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord, so that what comes out of it is good. And that's the thought, that if we have a heart full of love, that we're not going to say something that's hurtful to someone else. We're going to think things through, and we're going to say what we ought to. And we realize that our heart is important. We also realize that when we yield to temptation, it's our heart that's to blame. That it isn't that the devil has put forth a temptation that outsmart us or beat us in that sense, because we know from 1 Corinthians 10:31 that God is faithful. He will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able, but will with that temptation give us a way of escape. That any temptation that we face, that we can win, that we understand that from the Scriptures. And yet we know that there's many temptations that we don't win. And when we realize, well, what's the problem? We realize, well, it's my own heart is my own worst enemy. And it says in James 1 verse 14, or 1 verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And so we understand that it is our heart that is the problem. And we realize the problem that we have with our heart, that it cannot be trusted. And I don't know if you've heard many times in different motivational speeches and other things that someone will say, well, just follow your heart. And we understand from the Scriptures that that is not a wise thing to do. If we follow our hearts, often we can get ourselves in a whole mess of trouble. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." That we realize that if we follow our heart, we follow what we want to do, so often we realize that our motives are not pure, that we're doing it for the wrong reasons, and then we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And we see in Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 9, we see this principle once again. Jeremiah 17, in verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And that's something that if we look at ourselves, sometimes we examine ourselves, we realize that things that we do, even though we thought we were doing them for the right reasons, we realize that they were done to be seen of men. They were done in order to get our own way. That so often we see that our heart, even though we can do some good thing, that it's tainted because we did it for the wrong reasons. And so we see verse 10 is a blessing there as well, though, that "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." That we know that the Lord searches the heart, that the Lord sees what's within us. And we understand that actually, that He knows our hearts, He knows our weaknesses, And when he sends temptations along, that we know that they're not above what we can handle, but what he gives them for is so that we would realize, I have a weakness in this area. I need the Lord's strength to overcome it. And he wants to do that to us. And we see the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139, if you turn there with me. This is a psalm of David, and he testified that the Lord knew him, that he'd searched him through and through. And it says at the last few verses of Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That it was the heart of David that he said, "Well, Lord, is there anything within my heart that isn't pleasing to you? Anything that's going to lead me astray, that's going to cause me to sin against you?" He wanted the Lord to show him that so he could confess it and forsake it. And he wanted the Lord to lead him in the way everlasting. And that's what all of us need, and all of us should desire, that the Lord would search our hearts. And of course, the problem is sometimes as the Lord gets into the business of searching our hearts, he finds stuff that we wish would have remained hidden, that we realize, boy, there's things that I thought I had all figured out, I had down, but I realize, no, I've got a whole lot more work needs to be done in my life. But that's a whole part of it, that the Lord wants us to become like himself, and he wants to show us these things so that we could draw closer and closer in fellowship with him. And we know that we will face in our lives different trials, different struggles that push us to our limits and beyond. And we find different times in our lives when our strength and our heart are fails, that we think, well, I can't make it through this. How am I going to handle this? That we see that God himself, that he desires to strengthen our hearts. He knows our weaknesses and he wants to help us. It says in Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That when we feel ourselves weakening, we feel ourselves that we can't handle it, that he can strengthen our heart as we wait upon him. And so it is something that if we are to keep our heart with all diligence, and we think of the whole thought of someone that is diligent, that they give it their full attention. If you think of someone that's diligent at work, that they're busy, that they're not standing around or wondering what they're to do next, that they're looking for something to do, that they're keeping busy. And that's something that we when someone's diligent, you don't usually have to tell them to get to work. They already know that. And that's the same thing with us, is that we understand this is crucial, that out of my heart are the issues of life. If I'm going to pass the test that the Lord's going to put before me, if I'm going to be the Christian that I want to be the spouse or be the parent that I want to be, that I need to work on my heart, that I need to draw closer to the Lord, that we take stock, that we see, do I have any weaknesses that the devil can exploit? Is there things that I'm holding on to? I'm not allowing God into this part of my life. That we work at it, and we keep working at it. Even though we get victories in our life, we realize, well, I'm still not like Christ totally yet. There's still things I can learn. So we keep it with all diligence, that we continue on. And we want to examine from the Scriptures the heart that God wants us to have. Kind of our goal, that when we're looking at keeping our heart with all diligence, that we see, well, what kind of heart does God want me to have? And what kind of heart do I want to have as well? And first of all, we see that the kind of heart that God wants us to have is a pure heart. It says in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That we have that desire that if we have a pure heart, that it is a blessing to us, it is a blessing to others. Where we know that we're not doing things for the wrong reasons, that we're not being selfish in the back, but that we realize that we're doing it right, that we have pure motives. And we see that it is, we desire to have a pure heart for the sake of our relationship with God. Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24 and verse 3. It says, Psalm 24 verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." And so we see that if we want to have a close relationship with the Lord, we want to have fellowship with Him, that we desire to have a pure heart, that we want Him to show us if there's any sin within us so that we can confess it, so that there's nothing between us and the Savior. And we also understand that we desire to have a pure heart for the sake of our relationship toward our fellow man, towards those that we love, towards fellow believers, towards the lost, that we want to have a pure heart. We see this in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." That's what we desire, to love one another with a pure heart. And so we need to have a pure heart. That's what the Lord wants us to have. But the problem is that we can't make our hearts pure ourselves. That no matter how much we try to reform ourselves, to fix ourselves up on our own, that we realize that we have that sinful heart within us, that flesh that continues to crop up once again. It says in Proverbs 20, verse 9, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" That none of us can say, "Well, I've solved it, I've fixed everything within me, I've cleansed it." We realize we can't say that in and of ourselves. And so we realize that we need God to do that work in us. David said in Psalm 51, verse 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That it's a thought that He has to create it. It's not there, that He has to make us this new heart, that He has to give us. And that's the whole thought of our salvation, that when we're saved, that it isn't that the Lord's trying to fix up the old man, the old nature, and it's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. It just doesn't work. What he does is he said, "Well, I've crucified that old man, that old sin nature, and I've given you a new heart. You're a new creature in Christ, and we have that new heart in Him. That this pure heart that follows after the Lord, that isn't burdened down by all these other things." And so we see that is what He wants. That is what He has given us, His Holy Spirit and His salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, is so that we would have this new heart that would be pure and clean before Him. And secondly, we see not only does the Lord want us to have a pure heart, the Lord wants us to have a tender heart. A heart that is tender towards God, a heart that is tender towards men. We think of Josiah, of how it was revealed to him that there would be great judgment upon Judah because of their sin. And the prophet told him, "Well, but because you are of a tender heart, that you're sensitive to sin, you're sensitive to that God has been wronged by the sins of the people, that the destruction would not come in his days." And we desire to be tender-hearted towards God, and we desire to be tender-hearted towards men. That's what the Lord desires of us, that we are sensitive to others, that we have compassion. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, it says, And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That he desires that of us, that both towards himself and towards other people, that we would be tender hearted. That we see that if people have needs, and that we do not shut up our bowels of compassion, but that we try to help them as we can. And we realize that as Christians, as children of God, we don't want a hard heart, that it gets us into so much trouble. When we're stubborn, when we're stiff-necked, the only one that really, that we're hurting is ourselves. That, I know, even this morning, with Caleb, that I wanted him to walk next to me, and he was not wanting to walk next to me, and so he was pulling and pulling and pulling, and he finally pulled away, and he fell down and hit his head on the floor, and that's the way it is with us so often, that the Lord wants us to do something, but we stiffen our neck, we say, I don't want to do it, and then we end up getting hurt. And he's like, well, if you just worked with me, if you just were patient, it would go so much better. And that's the thought, that he is trying to make us into his image. He's trying to work in our hearts, and we need to be tender to that and sensitive. It's the same as the thought of how he's wanting to mold us as clay, and if we become hard and lumpy and brittle, that it makes it difficult. I know working with wood, I was working on a little gift for Alicia, and I had to plane some of it down, and when it's just straight clear wood, it's just so easy, but then you hit a knot and you're fighting with it all the way. It's so more difficult, and that's what we don't want to have, that we want to follow the Lord. We don't want to have a hard heart. It speaks in Romans chapter 2 of how that having a hard and impenitent heart, that it stores up wrath upon us, that it is not a good thing. And we realize that it so often our hard heart causes us to miss out of the blessings that the Lord wants to give us. We see this in Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95 and in verse 7 it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And we have the children of Israel as a perpetual example to us. And of course, we can sometimes think, well, why did the children of Israel not see it? Why were they so stubborn? But of course, we realize so often that we can be so much the same way. And it was that God was leading them. He led them from slavery. He wanted to bring them to this promised land of blessing where it flowed with milk and honey. But they were hard-hearted. They were stubborn. They didn't want to go in. They didn't trust the Lord. And they missed out on all these blessings. The next generation got to partake of it. And they could have too if they just wouldn't have been so hard-hearted, if they just would have trusted the Lord. And we see that. It causes us to miss out on the blessings. And if we're not tender-hearted towards our fellow man, that often that we miss out on the blessings of being able to serve them and minister to them, that we... If we don't have our hearts open to see, well, this person has a need, maybe I can fill it. That we don't get to share in the blessings of being able to help someone and to work in that. And again, to have a tender heart, both towards the Lord and towards man, we realize that for us to try to work that up, to try to make our hearts tender, we realize that our heart is a problem. And we see again that it's a work of the Holy Spirit that He does within us. If you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. in verse 26, and this is, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." And we understand that this speaks of the end times with the children of Israel, but we know the application it has under the new covenant, that we have a new heart, that it's not a stubborn one anymore, that the Lord gives us a tender heart. And that is what He does, what He desires to do in our lives. And sometimes we realize that if our hearts are hard, sometimes they need to be broken before the Lord can really use us. That it's the thought that, of course, that if our hearts are broken, that He's the one that can bind them up again. But that sometimes He brings us to a point when things just are hard and we don't know what to do, and it's so that we can turn to Him. And many ways we think of the principle of, just as with a horse, that you try to ride it first of all, and it's just bucking and kicking and wants to throw you off of its back, but once it's trained, once it's broken, then it's useful. It can be of such a help and a blessing. And that's the way the Lord is with us, that He wants us to have a heart that's tender, a heart that's usable for Him, that's not always fighting against Him, because we realize that He's God, that really He has the right to tell us what to do. He's the one that made us, the one that bought us with His own blood. And we realize, too, that He's, being the God that He is, that He's a God of wisdom, that He knows what He's doing. We can trust Him, and that He's a God of love, that He's not going to do something or lead us in a way that's going to harm us. And so we see that we want to serve the Lord with a pure heart, with a tender heart, and then also we want to serve the Lord with our whole heart. And we read that this morning in Sunday school, Jeremiah 29, verse 13, that ye shall seek me and shall find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. That we can give the Lord a good portion of our life. We can give Him kind of the best room in the house of our dwelling, of our tabernacle here on this earth, but we realize that He deserves every part of it. And that the more we give to Him, the greater the blessings it can be. We understand the principle of being filled with the Holy Spirit, that we cannot get any more of the Spirit than what we get upon salvation, because you can't divide the Holy Spirit into pieces, because He's a person. He's not a force or anything like that. And the thought of being filled with His Spirit is not much how much we have of Him, but how much He has of us. And the more He has of us, the more He can use us. And that we want to seek Him, that we would have Him search our hearts, that if there's any place that we haven't given over to Him, any spot that we're not allowing Him to work, that we would desire that. And that we would praise Him with our whole hearts, we would serve Him with our own hearts, that we would honor Him in all that we do. And so, may the Lord help us that we would be able to do this, that we would keep our heart with all diligence. We think even of the Apostle Paul, of how he spoke, that he had to keep his body under subjection, lest by any means after he had preached to others, he himself could become a castaway. And we can see that in testimony of down the years, that you can have someone that's lived a faithful life for many years, but then all of a sudden they've fallen into sin. We wonder, well, how could that have happened? And we get so discouraged. But we understand what happens, that it can start in the heart, that a person can be doing well, but they start to give way to certain things, and the devil can get a foothold in their life, and it becomes far greater of a problem than they ever imagined. And so it is something for our sake, that we want to keep our hearts for the sake of those that we love and for the sake of our Lord, that our heart is He has been working in it, He has purchased us, and that we want to have a heart that's clean and pure and that is pleasing to Him. And that we know that He sees our hearts as they are, and that we would allow Him to look in our hearts and we would seek His power that make the changes that He wants, that we may become more and more like Him each day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what it reveals in our hearts, Lord. We just pray that you would open up our hearts, Lord, as we look through your word this coming week, Lord. Just pray that you would help us, that we would be more devoted to you, that we would become more and more like you, Lord, that we would not overlook things, Lord, that you want us to deal with, but that you would help us, that we become more like you each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to hymn number 471 and sing Cleanse Me, hymn 471.